Thank you, Baron, for asking me to share. I'm truly a monophotic. I may as well sit down. I'm an alcoholic who suffer from denial a lot, you know. I drank for 35 years, and when I came into AA, I wasn't sure that I was an alcoholic, you know, because I never pass out. And I used to hear, you know, story, people passing out. And I thought, oh, no, it's not me, I know what to drink. Because I really put all my effort into learn how to drink, you know. I'll give you a bit of my background. I come from a big family. I'm the last one of the family. I have 7 brothers. And I also had 6 sisters, but some of my sisters I didn't know because they had passed away by the time I came home, that I got here, you know. So before I took a drink, I had all the sickness of an alcoholic. I had all the defects of character. I had picked them up way, way before. And I give my mother a hard time. Like during the war, I used to hang around with girls that were much older than me, and some of them had joined the army, and I thought, gee, this is cool, you know, this is nice, and I like the uniform, and I could travel, and, you know, it was very, very nice for me to, so anyway, I went with my brother to join the Navy, and I got kind of scared, you know, because one of my brother was in the Navy for all his life, you know, so I was so stupid, I thought maybe I'll get cut, you know. So a few days after, I says, because I really wanted to join, I went to the Air Force. And then they asked me for my birth certificate. I was 15. So I was stuck, you know. So I went into my mother's paper and looked for my birth certificate, which I found. And I took, and those they didn't have these ink remover that we have today. So I took Javix, you know, and I made a real mess of that paper because it looked all full and all. So I went to the church and I asked the priest for a new birth certificate because this one was too messy. I says, sit down, young lady. And he came back. It seems to me like a long, long time, you know, because I was nervous before I got in the service because I was lying. So he comes back. He says, you're not 18 years old. I must have given him a song and a dance. He decided to give me a paper, like, with the print of the church. He asked me, can you type? I said, oh, yes. And he says, don't come back, though. You make a mistake. Don't come in. And don't tell anybody ever who gave you that paper. I don't need that kind of trouble. So I went home and really practiced, you know, my birth certificate. When I was sure that I had it right, you know, I signed another priest's name, not his name, you know, because I wanted to keep my promise to him. So when they called me back for some tests and I had my birth certificate. But I had to remember which year I was born. Because they ask you, you know. For 10 days, you know, you have medical once you're in, and they ask you which year you're born, so I brainwashed myself. Even to today, I'm still having a problem which year I'm born. I'm not sure, you know, because I really lie so much to myself. So when my mother heard that I was going into the Air Force, she had a fit, you know. My brother had joined the Navy and me, and I'm 15 years old. But I heard my two other brothers, they said, let her go. She'll be back before you know it, because she won't do anything that she stole. Because my brother knew me, you know. I never listened to anything. I just did as I pleased. That's before I took a drink. I was a character, you know. Indeed, you're the youngest one. I don't know if it's in all the family, but I was spoiled, you know, by my brothers and sister. So, anyway, I went into the Air Force, and when I had a week enough, I was going to show to my brothers, you know, that I wasn't lonesome or anything. I wasn't going home. So I stayed there in the station because my false pride wouldn't let me go home. I was lonesome, and I found it tough. And they have rule and regulation. Very, very hard for a cookie like me. My mother used to pick up after me all the time, you know, and I had it made. But they're, you know, they come and they check, they have roll call, and I can tell you that I got into lots of trouble, you know, because when you're not used to behave, it's hard. And anyway, I'll take you to my first drink. I remember that we went for a walk with these two chaps. They had 26 ounces of rye. But I don't remember if I had one drink, two drinks. I remember waking up in a hospital. And I was ashamed. And inside of my head was telling me it's because I don't know how to drink. No remorse, it's because I didn't know how to drink. And I had all the intention of learning. How do young people have different goals in life than learn to how to drink, you know? Not me. That was the most important thing, to learn how to drink. And I did start slowly, you know. We would go, but I would take some beer and be slow at it, you know, because I didn't want to wake up in the hospital again. But when the Christmas was coming, and I went home, and you're supposed to either get Christmas or New Year's. But I went for Christmas, and I stayed for New Year's, because I was very good at lying. I went to a doctor, he gave me a paper that I'm sick, and, you know, I'm okay with that. And in those days, we used to go to midnight show. And my friend had a bottle of sloe gin. I remember drinking some sloe gin. And we met a lady that took us after to her place after the show. And I was already starting to get sick. Give us some St. George wine, glass about like this, you know. So I got home around 4 o'clock and I'm sick. And I'm like, where do you come from at this hour of the night, you know? The midnight show, she's midnight show at 4 o'clock in the morning, it's impossible. And I was so sick, you know. And sick like a dog that gets sick, not a dog that's not sick. So, and how they pass and... But that didn't teach me. Again, I think it's because I don't know. I don't know what to drink, you know. If I only had taken it a little more slow, you know. So my drinking career lasts me for... I did learn how to drink, you know. And I used to drink with the brakes on. Because I didn't want people to see me pass out or anything. I could do that when I'm alone, you know, or just me and my husband there, you know. So, not many people saw, you know, they didn't pick me up from anywhere because I would always, I call that drinking with the brakes on. And that was my false pride, you know, that kept me that way. Because I was full of false pride. And I drank and drank. When I first came to AA, actually, I came in where I worked, there was a gentleman there that belonged to AA for 35 years. And he knew my husband was in a program. And they had been bugging me, you don't support your husband, you don't go to AA, and you know, words gets around there. So one day he had bothered me so much, he says, your husband's taking two-year cake, and you should go. And anyway, he convinced me of going. But I was a bit shy to go. I wouldn't call anybody to. But I made my son come with me, but he didn't stay, you know. And when I got there, you know, they said, here comes Warpath. I could tell, you know, because I didn't tell him yet. I had thrown my husband out the month before. Because I had a bad character, let me tell you something. And I had told my husband, don't take your God and Mary, I'm going to throw them out of the window. And he knew I would do it, so he took his things, you know. Because they would have went out of the window, because that's the type of things they would do, you know. So, anyway, when I get there, there was a lady beside me, and she was really... really sick at the time, because I didn't drink all the time, like, you know, I would stop maybe, you know, sometime for a month, sometime for 2 weeks, but that's, you know, that helped me to know, to think that I'm not an alcoholic, that I have everything under control, and so when I went there, but a few things, you know, the thing that really helped me is the spiritual aspect of AA. That got to me. So this girl, I took her phone number and she took mine and started to go to meeting with her. That was my journey, you know. But I still think I'm not an alcoholic. Usually I would have taken her home with me and... fix her up with some cocktail, you know, that she would have lost her shake and a few drinks. But I didn't do that. God did for me what I could not do for myself right from the beginning. He put me in the right road. And so I was going to a lot of meetings. And one of the meetings I had gone... I met a lady that I knew really, really well, and she was well known, and her husband was a doctor, and she used to come where I work, you know, and had the rosary with everybody. And she's so nervous when she sees me, eh? She's back and forth and back and forth, and she comes and asks me, you know, are you going to tell on me, you know? I says, well, she said, are you here for your husband? I said, no, I'm here for me. And when she asked me, you know, but that confused me, though, that she asked me, you know, if I would tell on her. And that wasn't one of my defects of character to tell on people. I would tell them off, but not tell on them, you know, behind. It wasn't one of my defects. So, anyway, I went to it because I was curious, and I was so mixed up, and I wouldn't share with anybody. So let me tell you that it was a tough road when you don't share with other people. And because I wasn't listening well enough, they tell you, don't go home with your trouble. Share them with somebody. But what helped me, I was listening. But I didn't do what they told me to do, you know, share with other people. Because my false pride was so big. But you go home stuck, really, really stuck. So I went to some intensive weekend in the state, and I was doing, though, you know, the thing, but still mixed up as I wasn't well in my shoe at all. So I got myself a sponsor, and I started to share with her a little bit. And her husband was speaking at a step meeting, and they took me there, and I knew that that's where I belong, you know, right from the beginning. Because I had read the 12 and 12, and I lost 7 pounds reading it. Okay? My life passed in front of me. That sobered me up, let me tell you. But I don't know what to do with it, you know. And I should have asked a question, and somebody told me, you look well, I'd be mad, eh? Because I felt all lousy, and how can I look well, you know? It pissed me off, really, you know. I didn't think it was nice at all. So, anyway, And nobody saw me cry, because I didn't cry in front of anybody. Kept all that shit for myself, you know. So maybe the third time that I went to the step meeting, I bust out crying. That was very good. Start to clean my soul. And I went. Meetings after meeting, and never miss. I think I made coffee for 6 months there, which was very good. And I went to a lot of the intensive weekend. And that started to help me to share with other people. And to tell you the truth, it just happened, you know, that people were there for me. I sure don't deserve to be sober, but God saw different, you know. He had a different plan for me. Going to a lot of... we used to have intensive then every 3 months. And I went to every one of them. And kept on going to meeting and go to meeting. And I learned how to pray. You people have taught me how to pray. I knew those prayers, you know. I call them can prayer. Like, Our Father, Thy will didn't mean anything to me. I had to learn that here. Everything that I know to today, I've learned in this room. What other people that have the same sickness as I have, maybe not the same drinking pattern, but they suffer of some sickness. Some people realize that they're alcoholic much earlier, so they don't have to have a journey of alcoholism. It's so nice when you see young people. I'm so happy when I see young people coming in. It's nice to see older people coming in too, because I was old when I came in. But, you know, I did lots of things that, you know, my ambition were really in the wrong place. And I had lots of good things happening to me, but I wouldn't recognize it. There was nothing about gratitude in me. But you people with this step have taught me how to live. And I'm very, very, very grateful, because I have grandchildren. They never saw me drink, and I don't have to lose my cool, and I could be there to help them when it's time to help them. And it's a much nicer feeling. Even my son, though, didn't think I was an alcoholic, because I told you I drank with the brakes on. So he never saw me pass out, you know. He thought his dad was an alcoholic, but not his mom. You know, maybe he had my sickness denial. It could be, you know, because that's questionable. And there's quite a few in my family that are in a program, which is nice because we talk the same language, you know. And it taught me all the things that I had to learn, but now I'm working at it, you know, to be patient, to really care, and to say yes when I want to say yes, and no when I don't. Or if people ask me for something and I'm not sure, instead of saying no and have resentment, I ask them, let me think about it. And if they're too much in a hurry, well, tough, you know. Because I want to do things with my heart, not just my head, and say yes, you know, that's the way I used to act. Because I thought I was very, very honest when I came in. Because I would travel 200 miles to tell a person off. But I made sure they had an audience, you know. And I thought I'm honest, you know, because I had an audience. So let me tell you that I had lots to learn. And I've learned everything that I know in this room about really caring for other people. And try to help other alcoholics before I would get them drunk again. Not because I didn't care, but I wasn't placed in the right direction, you know. And I can do lots more with my life, you know. And you people have taught me everything that I know. How to use those steps, you know, because I was so confused after I had read that 12 and 12, you know. That's why right away when I went to step meeting, I knew I belonged there, you know. I had the feeling, now I'm going to learn, and I don't have to ask too many questions. All I have to do is listen, which I did. And sometimes I used to get really sore, you know. And one fellow used to say all the time, It's a step by step, and I thought he was just talking to me. It wasn't just that, he was talking to everybody. Because there's no elevator. Eh? It's a step by step. And we learn, you know, there's no, they don't tell you to hurry or, but there's a lot of must. I had must change. I must change and change my attitude. And you people have done that because you've been very patient with me. Because I wasn't, you know, I was, when the people ask you, you know, how do you feel? Oh, I'm fine, I'm fine. If I had gone to a hospital and told them that I was fine, then they would have sent me home. But hey, he didn't do that. They kept me. They kept and told me, keep on coming back. And they still tell me, keep on coming back. And that's why I'm here. You see, now that I listen. You're always welcome, and the doors never close. And there's nothing nicer than to see somebody coming back that are been out experimenting. It's so nice that they come home. We're always full of joys. And there's nothing nicer than to see people getting sober. That's one of the nicer joys that I have experienced, to see people coming in and staying. People that go all again, you know, but we cannot judge, because we're not inside of their head, you know. And we don't know what does that, and all they have to do is come back here and try again, you know. Have the willingness. If you are willing, God will help you. You have to ask, and you have to be thankful at the end of the day. I say thank you to God many times during the day. Many, many times. I don't wait till I go to sleep to close my eyes before I go to bed. And during the day, I thank Him. Because I have lots to thank Him about. Because when I came, I remember saying the Serenity Prayer from morning to night. That's how bad I felt. I really, really felt awful, awful, awful. And now you people have taught me to be happy. To be happy and turn the page. We have to turn the page on what we did. And, you know, thank God I would never have been here if I didn't drink and realize. But very grateful, you know, that nobody told me to go home. So lots to be grateful about and taught me to change. And if we stay around the AA, it's really, really, really helpful. My sponsor is 102 years old, and she still has all her marble. So that's something. Do you think that if she kept on drinking, she would have lost it long ago. Long, long ago. But she's still, you know, wonderful. You can talk to her. She's just like a young person. And she's very grateful. Very grateful to AA. And we have to be grateful for each day. Each day. And for the people in it. But I'm so grateful, you know. Because when you're in AA, I think you have it made. You always have friends. You never run out of friends. You can go anywhere in any country. You call, somebody will take you to the meeting. Do you know any other association that would do that? they would want something in return. Not any, they don't want anything in return. They're just so happy to have your company. But what a wonderful thing, you know. I know when I go to different country, I've always been to Hague. And there's always somebody there to give you a hand, you know. So it's really, really, really wonderful. And I want to thank you again, and thank you for the beautiful vibe. I really appreciate it. And I wish you all a good Christmas, many 24 hours. And keep on smiling. Thank you.